Professor of aerospace engineering. Okay.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I'm a professor of aerospace engineering at MIT, and when people ask me what that means, it's just rocket science, right? I am a rocket scientist and had the great privilege of spending 50 days in space during five space shuttle missions. There is a principle in Judaism called tikkun olam, to fix the universe, or another translation is repair the world. And in terms of repairing things, nothing in my career has been as important as when I went up with six colleagues to repair the Hubble Space Telescope back in December of 1993. So let's try to put yourself into that situation, because I'll tell you one of the stories that happened to us while we were doing that. But there we were floating 400 miles above the surface of the Earth. My colleague was attached by his feet to the robotic arm, and I was holding on with one hand. And we were basically taking a small electronic box that had failed, and replacing it with a new one. This was a box that had been considered so reliable that they never thought it was going to fail, and so they didn't take any special measures to make it easy to work with when you're wearing a spacesuit and you have big, bulky gloves on. Normally they try to make the bolts big so that you can hold on to them easy, but no, this device had eight different connectors, each of which was held in by small 2 millimeter screws, which are not easy to handle when you have big space suit gloves on. So there we were, and we had a screwdriver, and we were taking the screws out, and then we had a little trash bag on our chests, and you'd put the screw, as after you took it out, into the trash bag. Problem was, as we got more and more screws in the trash bag, and remember, they're just floating around inside the bag because we're weightless up there. So when you open the trash bag to put another screw in, two screws float out. So we would try to grab the screws and then put them back into the trash bag. And by the way, after our mission, they redesigned the trash bag so that things wouldn't come floating out of it, but that was too late for us. Anyway, at one point, my partner reached for one of those screws, touched it, but couldn't quite get it with his big bulky glove, and knocked the screw in such a way that it was moving down towards the cargo bay of the shuttle, which you don't really want things floating around in there because there's a lot of motors and critical things. And we have to close the cargo bay doors in order to come home. So I had a little bit more freedom of movement because I was what they call free floating, meaning I was just holding on to one hand. My feet were not attached to anything. I had a stainless steel tether so I wouldn't float away if I let go. But I could basically hold on with one hand and reach out with my other arm to grab that screw. Well, unfortunately, it was about 6 inches away from my hand. But our colleague back inside the shuttle, who was operating the robotic arm, said, "Oh, just hold on, Jeff. I'll drive the arm over towards the screw, and you can grab it." So he did, and the arm started moving, and I was holding on, moving with the arm, but it turned out the maximum speed at which that robotic arm could move was exactly the same speed at which the screw was moving away from us. So there I was, reaching out with my hand towards the screw, and they were just both moving away. It was the most frustrating thing. Here's where the training really comes in handy. we have two people trained to do everything. So we had a backup robotic arm operator. And he remembered that when there's anything attached to the arm, the maximum speed of the arm to move is reduced. So he floated over to the computer, punched in a few things, basically telling the robotic arm that, hey, there's nothing on the end of it. There's no people there. There's no satellite. And sure enough, the arm speeded up and I was able to grab onto that screw and put that away. That was, we referred to that as the great screw chase. And that actually occurred on the fifth and final day of our spacewalking. One of the last things we had to do. And after we finished all that and came inside, we knew that in fact, everything that we had set out to do to repair the Hubble Space Telescope, we had been able to do. And it had all worked, despite the fact that it was the most complex shuttle mission that had ever been done. And many people thought that it was too difficult, but we were in the mood to celebrate. And as far as a celebration, it was the middle of December of 1993, which happened to be during Hanukkah. And I had actually brought with me a dreidel, a beautiful silver dreidel made by an artisan in Israel who had kindly given it to me to take up on this flight. And, you know, I didn't want to make a big deal about anything religious or dreidels or whatever, but I took it out as part of the celebration, and I was spinning it and showing my crewmates, you know, what happens when, and of course it was kind of neat because you spin it and it just keeps spinning, not like happens on Earth. What I didn't realize was the TV camera in down on the mid deck where we were all working was actually live. And the images of me spinning this dreidel were going right down to the Earth. And in mission control, they saw it. And the capsule communicator called up to me and said, hey, Jeff, I'll bet all of America would like to know what's that thing you have there? What are you doing with it? And so I said to myself, well, all right, I wasn't going to make a big deal of this, but they asked. And so I gave a description of Hanukkah, the festival of lights, and explained what the dreidel was and speculated on how you might have to change the rules for working without any gravity when the dreidel's never going to fall over. And a television network in Los Angeles picked that up, and it really became viral. And to this day, if you Google dreidels in space, you can see me spinning that dreidel after our repair of the Hubble Space Telescope. So it was both a triumph for astronomy, for human spaceflight, and a nice opportunity to show that, Jewish artifacts are, you can take them with you wherever you go, even to very strange places like up in space. If you haven't seen the video by now, go and have a look at it. And now you know what the story is behind it. So it's been a pleasure sharing that with you.